Emphatic and Contrastive Stress, taught by Sherry Summers. This lesson was recorded specifically for students of the American Accent course. Any reproduction of this audio in any form is strictly prohibited without the permission of AccentOnSpeaking.com.
Hi and welcome. If you remember, in our last lesson, we talked about basic sentence stress, normal sentence stress, or what I sometimes call the default sentence stress, just the normal basic way of stressing words. And if you recall, that is the content words, the most important words of a sentence. But I've also said all along that we could actually stress anything in a sentence. We don't have to just stress those main words, but if we stress something unusual, that means we're changing the feeling of the sentence. We're doing it for a reason. You can't just randomly stress words without having a reason behind it. So in this lesson, we're going to talk about emphatic stress and contrastive stress. Emphatic stress, think about that. What do you think that means, emphatic? Does it remind you of anything? Emphatic. It comes from the same word as emphasize. We use emphatic stress to emphasize certain words, or sometimes we highlight them, or sometimes we just want to point something out. Now, contrastive stress, contrastive, does that remind you of anything? How about the word contrast? We use contrastive stress to talk about the contrast between two or three or more items. So let's talk about these two kinds of stress and when you might use them, and especially why you might use them. We already know some of the basic stress patterns, but let's get a little more exciting here. Let's get into some variables, and these are very, very commonly used because people have different feelings. They have different emotions. They want to point certain things out. Now, if I came to you and said, "My name is Sherry," you would know what I was talking about, right? You would say, "My name is Sherry," because name is important, Sherry's important, and that would seem reasonable to you. But what if I came to you and I said, "My name is Sherry. My name is Sherry." What did I just emphasize? I emphasized or stressed the word "my." Why would I do that? Well, there's a reason behind it. Now, there's not always just one reason. Sometimes you'll know what's going on by the context. But "my name is Sherry," well, couldn't that mean it's my name, it's not your name? If you come to me and you say, "Hi, my name is Sherry," and I say, "No, it's not. My name is Sherry. Your name's not Sherry. My name is Sherry." So that's one possibility. I'm pointing out the fact that it's mine, not yours, or not somebody else's. But what if I came and said, "Hey, my name is Sherry"? In that case, it sounds like I am kind of important. I am more important than you. Well, it depends on the context, but it could mean that. So you've got to be a little bit careful where you stress words because it may give you a feeling or a meaning that you don't intend. So I stress "my" because I want to point out either the importance of me or I, or to tell you that this is my name and it's not somebody else's name. If you look at the handout, you'll see the sentence, "I love it. I love it." Now, in the sentence, I normally stress the word "love" because it's a verb, it's an important word. But let's say I say something like, "I love it. I love it." Why would I do that? Now, I've stressed it, but I've overly stressed it. It's not a normal stress. It's a strong stress. I've actually highlighted it. I'm pointing it out. Why would I say to you, "I love it"? You can probably guess this. I would say, "I love it" to really show you. I love, love, love it. I love it so much. So I'm really emphasizing the word "love," or in other words, overemphasizing the word "love" because I'm pointing it out. It would normally be stressed, but it's even higher because I want to point to this word, show this word. How about the next word? "Her daughter is Susan. Her daughter is Susan." Now that sounds okay, right? Her daughter is Susan. Daughter is stressed. Susan is stressed. But what if I said, "Her daughter is Susan"? Susan, even higher. And notice I'm stressing the Sue part because that's where the stress is. Her daughter is Susan. Why would I say that? There could be several reasons. I might say her daughter is Susan to say, no, her daughter's not Mary. It's Susan. Or maybe the person got the name wrong. Maybe the person said, oh, her daughter's Susie. No, it's Susan. So I'm really pointing out this word, Susan. How about if I said, John really wants that car. John really wants that car. Now, that's pretty normal. Really's kind of important. John really wants that car. But what if I emphasize it like this? John really wants that car. Oh my gosh, he really wants it. It's very serious want, a very serious desire. He really wants it. So I can stress anything, but it's going to change the feeling of the sentence. And we can stress any word in the sentence, but it changes the meaning. Let's check out the sentences below. The very basic sentence, he is my boyfriend. He is my boyfriend. Boyfriend is normally stressed, so that's okay. But what if I change it around a little bit? What if I decide to say, he, very strongly, he is my boyfriend. What am I saying now? If I say, he is my boyfriend, I'm saying it's him. It's this guy. It's not another guy. It's this one. Maybe we're in a group of people and somebody says, is that your boyfriend over there? No, 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 not that one. This one over here is my boyfriend. He is my boyfriend. I'm pointing out this one, not that one. What if I said, he is my boyfriend? He is my boyfriend. We've got to think about why we're highlighting this word, why we're emphasizing this word. We would emphasize this word to maybe point out something like, he is, not he was my boyfriend. Right now, he is my boyfriend. Or maybe something like, not he isn't. I want to tell you, he is my boyfriend. Maybe you came to me and you say, no, he's too handsome. I don't think he's your boyfriend. It's impossible. And I say, no, he is my boyfriend. So I'm contrasting against something else. And in this case, it would be maybe past tense or maybe a negative. What if I said, he is my boyfriend, my boyfriend? Now, in this case, I'm pointing out this is mine, not yours, not hers. It's mine. And what if I said very strongly, he's my boyfriend? Now, normally, in a normal sentence, I would say, he is my boyfriend. A little bit of stress. But what if I really stressed it? It's already being stressed in a normal sentence. I've got to overdo it in order to highlight or emphasize this word now. So I would go up higher. He is my boyfriend. What would I be saying here? Well, I'm talking about boyfriend, so maybe I'm saying he's not my husband. He's not my girlfriend. He's my boyfriend. Okay, so you see, by stressing different words, we get different meanings, different feelings. You've got to be careful what you stress. Let's try some other sentences. We see the sentence, put those keys on that table. Put those keys on that table. Now, keys is a noun, so keys is pretty important. Table is another noun, so the te part of it is pretty important. And put is a little bit important too, because there's a verb. But let's play around with this sentence and see what happens. So in a normal sentence, I would say, put those keys on that table. Put those keys on that table. So let's really stress the first word. Let's say, put those keys on the table. Put those keys on the table. Okay, notice how I'm really stressing the word put. What am I saying? Now remember, when you emphasize it, you're pointing out this word, which is actually contrasting with other words that are similar. So what would be similar, or in this case, maybe opposite of put? Maybe pick up? So I don't want you to pick up those keys. I want you to put those keys. Put those keys on the table. Let's emphasize the word those. Put those keys on that table. put those keys on that table. Okay? Those is not usually emphasized. Why are we emphasizing it here? Those keys, what would contrast with this? How about these keys? Okay, not these keys, those keys. Put those keys on the table. I don't want you to put these keys over here. The ones over there in the corner, I want you to put those keys on the table. Okay, normally we emphasize the word keys, so in order to highlight it, we've got to do it even stronger. So let's try this. Put those keys on that table. Put those keys on that table. What am I trying to do here? Keys. What could maybe be contrasted against keys? Of course, it depends a lot on the context. But maybe I'm trying to put a cup on the table. And you say, no, not the cup. Put the keys on the table. Okay, I'm pointing out the keys in contrast to something else. Put those keys on that table. Okay, how about put those keys on that table? I'm stressing on. Now, on is a preposition. It usually doesn't get stressed. But I've said all along, you can stress anything, but it changes the feeling. If I say on the table, I'm contrasting against what? Maybe under or beside? No, don't put it under the table. Put those keys on the table, not under, on. Put those keys on that table. That table. Okay? I stress the word that because not this one over here or not the one next to you. It's that table. Maybe I'm pointing to it. That table. It's a specific one. Put those keys on that table. And if I want to emphasize the word table, just like the word keys, I need to be even stronger. Put those keys on that table. Not on that chair, but on that table. So I want to point out table, not some other piece of furniture, maybe not even on the floor, on the table. So it's contrasting against some things that are very similar to table, but put it on the table. Okay, good. Let's go back and let's try these out. Start with, he is my boyfriend. So repeat after me. In a normal sentence, we would say, he is my boyfriend. He is my boyfriend. Stress the word he. He is my boyfriend. He is my boyfriend. Stress the word is. He is my boyfriend. He is my boyfriend. And notice still, boyfriend has a little bit of stress, even though is the strongest word. Let's stress the word my. He is my boyfriend. He is my boyfriend. Okay, and really stress the word boyfriend. He is my boyfriend. He is my boyfriend. Okay, great. Let's try the next sentence. Normally we would say, put those keys on that table. Put those keys on that table. Okay, now let's emphasize the word put. Put those keys on that table. Put those keys on that table. Emphasize the word those. Put those keys on that table. Put those keys on that table. Now let's really emphasize the word keys, even stronger than a normal stress. Put those keys on that table. Put those keys on that table. Okay, and now the word on. Put those keys on that table. Put those keys on that table. And now really emphasizing the word table. Put those keys on that table. Put those keys on that table. Okay, great. Let's talk about some contrastive stress. We use contrastive stress to point out two or more different things. So especially when we're talking about opposites, especially when we're talking about opinions about two or more different things, we really stress the two opposite things, the contrast. So for example, when I say, I hate winter, but I love summer, I'm really contrasting two different pairs of words. If we look at this, we'll see hate contrasts with love. So I'm contrasting these two words. I'm saying them very strong. But also winter, or maybe we say winter, winter and summer also contrast. So we've got a little emphasis there too. I hate winter, but I love summer. Okay, so we've contrasted against these two pairs of words, and that causes us to emphasize them. In the next sentence, we see also two pairs of words that contrast. He likes vanilla, but I like chocolate. Okay, we're contrasting he and I, and we're also contrasting vanilla and chocolate. So two different pairs of words that contrast against one another. Now, in this next sentence, we just have one pair of words that contrast, and maybe you've heard this before. Some people say, where there's a will, there's a way. Do you know what that means? It means if you have a strong will to do something, you can do it. There's a way to do it. So it's just one of those popular sayings, where there's a will, there's a way. You have to have the will, and then you can get the way to do it. So these two words contrast against one another. Do you remember the story of the three little bears? Maybe you've heard this story. The three little bears has three bears, a mother and a father and a baby. So because we're telling the story and we've got three different ones and we're contrasting against what kinds of bears, we would say there was a papa bear, a mama bear, and a baby bear. So contrasting papa, mama, and baby to describe those three kinds of bears. Okay, I might say, Chicago is windy and Seattle is rainy. Okay, again, we're contrasting two pairs. Chicago and Seattle are both cities. They're different from one another. Windy and rainy are both weather conditions, and they contrast against one another. So Chicago is windy and Seattle is rainy. So go back with me and try these out. Let's start from the first sentence under contrastive stress. I hate winter, but I love summer. I hate winter, but I love summer. Okay, the next one. He likes vanilla, but I like chocolate. He likes vanilla, but I like chocolate. The next one, where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. Okay, next. There was a papa bear, a mama bear, and a baby bear. There was a papa bear, a mama bear, and a baby bear. Chicago is windy, and Seattle is rainy. Chicago is windy, and Seattle is rainy. Okay, good. Now, all of this is just still kind of theory. Let's try it out a little bit. Now, I'm a fan of children's stories. I think children's stories are fun, and a lot of children's stories most people know, not always. But let's try this out in a story. Let's try this out in The Three Little Pigs. Now, I know that this is for children. Don't worry about it. I know you're an adult. If you want to and you have children, go ahead and try this out. Read it to your kids. But it's fun because there's a lot of contrast and there's a lot of emphasis in stories like this. So if you would take a look at the text of The Three Little Pigs, you'll notice that I have bolded a number of words. And you'll also notice that I haven't bolded or put in bold all of the words that should have some stress. I didn't put in bold all of the content words. What I have done, Notice I just emphasized the word have. What I have done is mark the words that are going to have either emphatic or contrastive stress. And there's a reason that I have chosen to emphasize each of these words. So what I'd like for you to do, if you would, is take a few minutes, turn off the audio, and look through this story and see if you can figure out why I've emphasized a number of these words. Is it because they should be highlighted, or is it because there's a contrast of some sort? So please turn off the audio and see if you can figure it out just a little bit. I'll be waiting. Okay, did you get it figured out? Now, some of it might not make sense, but let's go through and look at each of these. In the very first section, I emphasize the word once. I actually have to admit I don't have a really good reason for this. It's because when we tell a story and we say once upon a time, it's just common to stress once. I don't think there's really a reason for that. If there is, I'm not aware of it. But we usually begin children's stories with once upon a time. Okay, so that's why I've chosen this. Now, in other sections, we'll get a better answer. If you look in the second section, you'll see the word best. Do you think this is a contrast, or am I just emphasizing something? The mother says, whatever you do, do it the best that you can. I want you to notice the word can. There's no verb that follows it, so we have to say the word can in a nice, pure sense. Do the best that you can. Why did I emphasize the word best? It's just I want to highlight it. I want to point out best. The mother wants to say, do the best. And then she says, because that's the way to get along in the world. That's. Why did she emphasize the word that's? Because she's going back and saying, do the best. And that is the same thing as best. So she's emphasizing the word that's to relate back to best. That way, she wants to say, that way of doing the best is very important. If you look at the next section, you'll see the first little pig. Okay, you may not realize right away why we've emphasized the word first, because in a normal sentence, we would say the first little pig. Pig would be the most important word. Why did we emphasize the word first? The first little pig. Well, we don't know that until we get to the second line, which says the second little pig. And then the third line that says the third little pig. I'm contrasting against these three little pigs. The first one, the second one, and the third one. So I'm pointing out that there's three different little pigs. And we do the same thing when we say straw. We're talking about a house of straw because next we talk about a house of sticks. It contrasts. And third, we talk about a house of bricks. So we're contrasting these three different lines, these three different kinds of materials that are making up these little pigs' houses. Okay, in the first line there where we say the first little pig, the first little pig built his house out of straw because it was the easiest thing to do. Now, easiest, are we contrasting this with anything else? No, not really. We're just pointing it out. It's the easiest. It's not hard. It's the easiest. Okay, and the second little pig built his house out of sticks. This was a little bit stronger. This is going back and saying, pointing out the word strong. It's stronger. It's not weak. It's stronger. And if you look at the next section, you'll see the word dearly. Who dearly loved to eat. Who dearly. Well, that's really similar to the word really. And it means, oh, I really, really love to eat little pigs. And by the way, a piggy is a little pig. Who dearly loved to eat fat little piggies. Okay, so that's just like the sentence where we said, he dearly loved. And then the word fat. Normally I would say fat little piggies. But in this case, I've emphasized it. I say fat, fat little piggies. Okay, I want to point out they're fat. They're not skinny. So I'm emphasizing the word fat. Okay, and then we've emphasized the word first. Well, again, that goes back to the three different pigs. I'm pointing out this pig, not the other two pigs, the first one, the first little pig. And also in this section, we have the word huff and puff. And if you don't know what that means, it means the wolf is blowing on the house. I don't even know where this comes from. It's a very old story. Huff and puff. It's probably where it comes from. And blow. He's emphasizing the word blow your house in. He's a very angry and rude wolf. So he's emphasizing, I'm going to blow it. It's going to fall down. And by the way, blow your house in, it means I'm going to blow it until it falls down. Okay, so we have the word blow. And then it's not emphasized, but the little pig answers, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. If you know this story, I don't know how it translates into your own language. A chinny chin chin, it has no real meaning. Don't worry about that. It's just part of the story. But in the next section, we see the word did. Did is emphasized. But of course the wolf did blow. Okay, I'm saying this, and we usually only use the word did in a positive sentence, not a question, not a negative sentence, when we want to emphasize the opposite of didn't. Maybe you expected that the wolf didn't do it, but he did do it. I'm emphasizing did. He did blow the house in. And then he ate the first little pig. Why did I emphasize the word ate? Well, in this case, I'm just highlighting it. This is a very serious thing. The wolf ate him. Can you believe that? He ate him. So because it's an important word, this action of eating the poor little pig, we want to emphasize the word ate. Okay, now in the next section, we see the word that. But the wolf blew that house, I'm emphasizing this word that because it's not only the one before, but also this one. Okay, I'm really pointing it out. This is the other one. The first one was blown in, and the second one was blown in. We're contrasting the two. And, of course, the word two is emphasized because I can't believe he also did that. And two is pretty commonly emphasized, especially when you can't believe something. He ate that one too. Oh, my gosh. He ate it also. And then we emphasize the word ate again. And second again, because first of all, eight is serious stuff, and second is contrasting between the first, second, and third little pigs. Okay, in the very next section, we say then. We emphasize the word then. The wolf then. Okay, what do you think about that one? It's just part of the story. It's showing sequence. First this happened, then this happened. And it also has a little bit of feeling like, I can't believe it. Then, after that, and it's pretty common when we tell a very exciting story to say, well, first this happened, then this happened, and it's also contrasting between the order. The wolf then came to the house of bricks. Okay, not the straw house, not the house of sticks, but the house of bricks. So I'm contrasting against those three things again. And in the next section, the wolf, again, emphasizes the word blow because he's very serious about his job. I will blow your house in. He wants you to know you should be very scared. Okay, and in the next section, we've got that chinny chin chin again. And then we have huffed and puffed because we're emphasizing what he's doing. Huff, puff, he's blowing, blowing, blowing. But notice now, not is emphasized. Hey, guess what? He didn't do it. This time he didn't do it. So he could not blow. We almost expected him to be able to blow the house down, but he could not blow the house down. So emphasizing this not, a contrast from being able to do it. In the next section, we see sly. Now, in this case, I just want to point out, he's very sly. In a normal sentence, I would say he was a sly old wolf. But I'm pointing out the word sly because I can't believe he's so sly. But the wolf was a sly old wolf. Okay, and I also can't believe, can you believe he climbed? He climbed up on the roof. Now, climb up, that's going to be a phrasal verb. But he climbed up on the roof. Climb up, that's serious stuff. He climbed, I can't believe it. It's really similar to the word ate. I can't believe he did that. So I'm emphasizing it. He climbed up on the roof to look for a way. Okay, I pointed out the word way because I don't know if this is possible or not. This is a very exciting story. Well, maybe you don't think so, but when we tell the story in an exciting way, what is the way? I don't know how to get in. What is the way? What is the direction to get into the brick house? Okay, and in the next section, we see the word roaring. Now, what a roaring fire is a big fire, roaring like a lion. It's making a lot of noise, a roaring fire. So I'm pointing out that this is a big, strong, noisy fire. And I want to emphasize that point. Also, I want to emphasize the kettle of water. It wasn't a small kettle of water. It was a large kettle of water, very big. Okay, and in the next section, we see the word finally. Now, there again, we have that sequencing. We first do this, and then we do this, and next we do this, and finally we do this. So we're contrasting this sequence. And if you've never heard of the word kersplash, don't worry about it. It's just a word that has the meaning of, or the feeling of, the splashing sound when you fall into water. Kersplash. I don't even think a lot of people say that. Kersplash. But it's a big sound because he drops into the water and he makes this big splashing noise. Right into that kettle of water. Right? That's another one that means, oh my gosh. Exactly. Right. Directly into that kettle of water. And that, I'm telling the end of the story, and that was the end. That, this whole story before, that. So I'm just pointing out, the story I've just been telling was the end. So this whole story, that. That was the end of his troubles. And then we have next. Again, that's a sequencing word, pointing out the contrast of the sequence. And mother says, you see, it is just, in other words, it is exactly. Okay, she's trying to say, look at my point. I was right. It is exactly, it is just as I told you. This is what mothers do a lot. They make their point. It's exactly what I said. This thing is exactly what I meant. And then we have the word, well. The way to get along in the world is to do things as well as you can. Okay, mother's emphasizing again, best, well, you've got to do a good job. And fortunately, this is another kind of, oh my gosh, look at this. Fortunately, oh, so lucky, he learned the lesson. And then he lived happily ever after. I emphasize the word happily because, hey, isn't happiness important? Okay, I want to show you how important this is, how happy he was. Okay, so let's go back and listen to the entire story. And then later, I'd like for you to practice it, emphasizing the words that should be emphasized. And of course, you don't want to forget the other normal stresses, but in this case, we're going to add the highlighted words or the more important words. And this gives us variety. This gives us more excitement. We don't want to be just boring people every day and use the same patterns of talking. It's very, very boring. No, we need a little bit of excitement. We need to be able to show our feeling. We need to be able to show our opinions. So this is what this kind of stress will do for you. So let's go back and let's listen to the story. The Three Little Pigs. Once upon a time, there were three little pigs, and the time came for them to leave home and seek their fortunes. Before they left, their mother told them, "Whatever you do, do it the best you can, because that's the way to get along in the world." The first little pig built his house out of straw because it was the easiest thing to do. The second little pig built his house out of sticks. This was a little bit stronger than a straw house. The third little pig built his house out of bricks. One night, the big bad wolf, who dearly loved to eat fat little piggies, came along and saw the first little pig in his house of straw. He said, let me in, little pig, or I'll huff and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in." "Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin," said the little pig. But of course, the wolf did blow the house in and ate the first little pig. Let me in, or I'll huff and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in." "Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin," said the little pig. But the wolf blew that house in too, and ate the second little pig. The wolf then came to the house of bricks. Let me in," cried the wolf, "or I'll huff and I'll puff till I blow your house in." "Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin," said the pig. Well, the wolf huffed and he puffed, but he could not blow that brick house. But the wolf was a sly old wolf, and he climbed up on the roof to look for a way into the brick house. The little pig saw the wolf climb up on the roof and lit a roaring fire in the fireplace and placed it on a large kettle of water. When the wolf finally found the hole in the chimney, he crawled down and, kersplash, right into that kettle of water. And that was the end of the troubles with the big bad wolf. The next day, the little pig invited his mother over. She said, "You see, it is just as I told you. The way to get along in the world is to do things as well as you can." Fortunately for that little pig, he learned that lesson, and he just lived happily ever after. Okay, please go back and try it out for yourself. Listen to the story several times if you would like to, and try to say the story along with me. Use the emphasis. Don't be shy about emphasizing, about exaggerating. You might want to do it while you're alone and really work on exaggerating the story. Listen to people around you. Even as I talk to you, I'm emphasizing a lot of words. Did you notice? Listen to the people around you. See if you can pick that up. I hope you enjoyed my story. Have a great time doing this on your own. If you have little kids, try it out on them. They will love it. Thanks, and talk to you next time. Bye-bye.